Thanks, Jill. Do keep that reading open in front of you on page 1061. And there should be some things up on the screen to help us as well as we go. I wonder if you can remember a time when you met someone and it changed your life. Maybe you can think of a time now, meeting someone who became a good friend. Maybe meeting your future husband or wife. I'm sure Joseph will meet people as he grows up and his life will be changed as he gets to know them and so on. Well, in today's reading, two men meet Jesus, risen from the dead, and it changes their lives. And they're not alone. In this room, there are others whose lives have been changed by Jesus. We've heard from Chris and Claire, haven't we, how God's been working in their lives just in the last few years. And we'll know that he has over many years. Doesn't mean they've met Jesus physically, as we'll see later. Jesus isn't the world now. He's seated in heaven with God the Father. But they've still met him and their lives have been changed by him. What about you? Could your life be changed by meeting Jesus? Well, this Easter at St. Mark's, we've been investigating the events of the first Easter as recorded in Luke's Gospel. Luke was a historian and a doctor, as he says at the start of his account. Back to the previous slide, if that's all right. Sorry, back to the... on to the next one. There we go, yes. No, back. There should be a script somewhere, thank you. Oh dear, it's jumping. Okay, I may have to just... here we go. Since I've carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you so you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Luke says he carefully investigated what happened so we might have certainty about these things. So whether we've been coming to church for years or this is the first time, whether we think about these things a lot or we tell people I'm not religious... Luke says we can have certainty about the historical events of the first Easter 2,000 years ago. He says each of us can meet Jesus, can have our lives changed by him. And for that to happen, three things need to happen. They happen to these two men, and they need to happen for us. So first of all, the desire. The desire. These men desire for Jesus to be alive. They long to meet him. The risen Jesus appears to them as they're walking along the road, but they don't know it's him. He asks them about what's happened that they're talking about, and they tell him, and we're privileged to be able to listen in. So verse 19, top of the right-hand column on page 1061. What things, he asked? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Luke, the historian, in his gospel tells us about the many mighty words and deeds that Jesus did during his ministry. Verse 20, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. That's what happened, as we'll know, on the first Good Friday. Jesus was unjustly condemned to be crucified. He died on a Roman cross. And then verse 21, but we'd hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. After Jesus died, it seemed all was lost. But then the first Easter Sunday, some women came to the tomb, and it was empty. And they had a vision of angels telling them Jesus was alive. And now these men don't know what to think. And they give away their heart, verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one who would rescue God's people. They had hoped. And this is a great start, because we'll only come to know Jesus Christ for ourselves if we want to know him, if we hope with these men that it's true. We need to have the desire. Why? Why do we need to have the desire? Well, it's because our hearts deceive us. we decide if we want to believe something is true. If we don't want to believe it, we won't, even if there's all the evidence in the world for it. But why might we not want to meet the risen Jesus? What might be in our hearts that makes us want to believe it's not true? Well, we might see all the pain in the world. We might have experienced pain. And we might have said to ourselves, God couldn't have allowed that. Jesus can't be alive. We might have heard something about what Christians believe, about how I'd have to live if I were a Christian. And we might have said, I don't want that. We might have experienced Christians being unkind and hypocritical and thought, I don't want anything to do with them. So we need to meet Jesus, we need to have the desire. We need to have those concerns removed, or at least to see that the blessings of knowing him are greater than those things. Well, what are some of the blessings? Well, we heard some of them, didn't we, from Chris and Claire earlier. And then as we read Luke's gospel, we discover what a wonderful, joyful, powerful, glorious person Jesus is. He's the person we were made to know. He made us. He knows what's best for us. And every human being has an ache in our hearts until we know him. Also, if the events of the first Easter Sunday are true, Jesus has defeated death. We're all scared of death, aren't we? One person has said, there are only three things we can do about death: to desire it, to fear it, or to ignore it. Most of us ignore it, but when we think about it, we fear it. The Bible teaches that death and judgment is the consequence of being part of a broken and fallen world. It's broken because of the way we put ourselves first rather than God and others. That's what the Bible calls sin. And sin leads to death and judgment. But as he hung on the cross on Good Friday, Jesus took the punishment for our sin on himself. And when he rose again, he defeated death, so that those who know him will come through death to everlasting, eternal life. Those are just some of the blessings of knowing Jesus. And my prayer is that Joseph will come to know Jesus and enjoy those blessings for himself, and that would be true for each of us here as well. I wonder, do you have the desire to know Jesus Christ? If not, what would it take to give you that desire? So the first thing is the desire. The second thing is the evidence. The evidence. It's important to desire to know Jesus, but that's not enough in itself. We need evidence that Jesus is alive and that we can know him. Now, these men have already had some evidence, the report of the empty tomb and the angels, but they need more. And so Jesus explains to them, verse 25, halfway down the right-hand column. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus says the whole Bible points to him. The Bible written over thousands of years. And he shows them from the Old Testament part of the Bible everything that pointed to the Messiah, God's King, dying and rising again and ascending to heaven where he sits even today. And I often think how wonderful it would have been to be on that road with those three men listening to Jesus's what Jesus had to say. But Luke gives us clues in his other book, The Acts of the Apostles, about what some of the things were. So to take two quick examples, Isaiah chapter 53. This was written 700 years before the first Easter, and yet it talks in detail about Good Friday. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him as he hung on the cross. Or take another example, Psalm 16. "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." That was written 1,000 years before the first Easter Sunday by King David, who did die. And yet he could see that one of his descendants, Jesus, would not stay dead. You see, Jesus is saying to these two men on the road, as he's saying to us, the Bible is one book written over thousands of years with one message about a person, Jesus Christ. And what it predicted has come true. And therefore, it can't be a purely human book. It must have been written by God. And of course, there's other evidence as well. The risen Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. These two men were just two of those. And many of those were willing to die for their faith because they were convinced they'd met the risen Jesus and they weren't afraid of death anymore. So for those who desire to know Jesus, the evidence is there. In fact, in my experience over the years, nobody rejects Christianity because of lack of evidence. People reject Christianity because they haven't bothered to look at the evidence, or because they don't want it to be true. So I wonder, have you looked at the evidence that Jesus rose again? Finally, the third thing we need to know, Jesus personally, is the Holy Spirit. I've looked down at verse 28, towards the bottom of the right-hand column. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" These men want Jesus to be alive. They've seen the evidence that he is, but still they don't recognize him until verse 31, their eyes are opened. Well, what does that mean? It means we can't meet Jesus purely by ourselves. Jesus is alive, he's seated at the right hand of God, but we can't meet him by ourselves. However clever we are, however successful, however religious, we need God to enable us to meet him. And he does that by his Holy Spirit working in us, opening our spiritual eyes to see and to know him. Our society is very aware of the spiritual world, isn't it? Even though it says it's not religious, most of the spiritual stuff people delve into, mediums and so on, is dangerous and to be avoided. But the Holy Spirit is different. He is from God, he is God, and he does God's work in the world today. And he reveals God to people. And actually, as we look at the evidence and as we have a desire to know Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit working in us. And we need to come to God humbly, prayerfully, asking him to reveal himself to us, not thinking we can work it all out by ourselves. Well, so what? What does all of this mean for us today? And we've all met lots of people over the years who've had an impact on us, either good or bad. But there's only one person who can change our life completely when we meet him, and that's Jesus. It may be you've realized today you haven't met Jesus yet. You haven't discovered the difference he makes to life, the certain hope he gives beyond death. And if that's you, I encourage you, I urge you to find out more. Don't just dismiss Christianity before you've looked at the evidence for yourself. What could you do? Well, you could speak to Chris and Claire. You could take a Luke's Gospel. We've got some on the way out. You could read for yourself the evidence that Luke the historian gathered. Or there are some booklets, The Real Easter. Help yourself to one of those. Or ask John afterwards about the Essentials course that we run from time to time. And whatever stage you're at, ask God to open your spiritual eyes, to give you his Holy Spirit so you can meet Jesus for yourself. Maybe you have already met Jesus. He's shown you he's alive. You've asked him to be your Savior and your King. Well, I hope you've seen today you can have real confidence. Jesus really rose from the dead. Your future resurrection from the dead is certain. The evidence is overwhelming. When people reject Jesus, it's not for lack of evidence, it's for other reasons. Maybe you're trying to introduce someone else to Jesus. Well, I hope today we've seen the three things that we need to happen for a person to come to know him, to desire it, to see the evidence, and to have the Holy Spirit. So keep praying those things for them. And I think I'm going to draw to a close because the noise is beginning to overwhelm us. So we've got a slide right at the end. If we just go on one more slide, Dennis. And why not, as the kids arrive, why not just take 1 minute to think about that question. Have I met Jesus yet? What's the next step for me? Just think about that question for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer.